Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Opportunity and opposition, man, they lock together. Man, we want to be realistic about that and know that it happens. And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord as I do also. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now, this idea of him waiting for him, 1 Timothy 1, 2, and 2 Timothy 1, 5, and 6. Man, he sees Timothy as a true son in the faith. He has affections and a relationship for Timothy. This is a guy he is close with, he's been working with, he loves Timothy, right? But I love, again, the reality that he loves Timothy, but he knows Timothy. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Timothy had some weaknesses. He had some stomach issues that caused him some illness. He had some weaknesses. He wasn't superhero Timothy. He was just Timothy, you know? Man, do you remember that about each other sometimes? Because sometimes our expectations are so up over here that we got to, I love this. He says, man, when Timothy comes, see that he may be without fear. And that basically then he says, because he serves as I do in the Lord, he says, don't despise the dude. That's my paraphrase. Don't vibe him just because he's got some tummy aches and he gets a little bit upset. Check out 2 Timothy 1:4. He's kind of an emotional dude. He got all upset when Paul was leaving and he was sobbing, you know. And Paul said, I know the guy. I know how he gets a little worked up about stuff and his tummy hurts and he starts crying sometimes. And, you know, then 1 Timothy 4:12. He was a young guy, man. Let no one despise your youth, Timothy. You're a young dude. It's okay. What I'm trying to say is there was a reality to the interaction that Paul had. He understood what Timothy was about, but he loved Timothy. And he was kind of looking out for Timothy, saying, hey, man, do him right. I know he's kind of a little goofy in some ways. You know, Pastor Jim's a little bit weird. That's all right. Try and be nice to him, you know. And then also 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now, you only tell that to somebody who's just kind of freaked out, you know? Paul knew Timothy. I think that's so great, but he doesn't bag on him. He doesn't make fun of him like I just did. He's honest about it. You see, he's just loving the guy, and he's saying, I know these things about him. We have that record, but that's all the more reason. Don't despise the guy. Send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me. And basically, he says, I'm waiting for him. He's needful to me in ministry. We have a good bond, and he's useful. Man, I think sometimes for us, we think, well, once I get my act together, then I can start going to church. Don't wait for that. You'll never come. Your friends that tell you that won't come. Tell them, no, it's okay. Even if you're all messed up, this is where you belong. We belong here. This is like a big hospital. Some of us just been around the hospital longer. We know where the bathrooms are quicker, you know? That's all. But we're all in the hospital together. We're all in need of getting patched up. And God's the one that patches us up. And I like that. That's an honest statement in verses 10 and 11. Now, concerning our brother Apollos, he talks about another guy. And you remember Apollos. Apollos from chapter 1. 2 and 3, the early chapters, you remember, where Apollos was one of those. Some say I'm of Apollos, some say I'm of Cephas, some say. Paul says, man, dude, that is not what's happening. We are not doing that. We're one, and we let God ministers through various peoples, and it's awesome. Now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren. Now, Paul, if he was threatened by him, would he have done that? No, he wouldn't have. So he's not in competition with Apollos. He goes, look it, guys, I tried to get Apollos to come, but Let's read on. I wanted him to come to you. I strongly urged him. That's pretty strong terms. I strongly urged him to come to you. But the latter part of verse 12, he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come at a convenient time. He wants to come. It wasn't going to work out for his situation right then to come. I like two things about this. The first thing I mentioned, that Paul didn't see him as a competitor, and he was inviting him. He said, please come. He didn't see it as a threat or any kind of weirdness. He says, yeah, no, that's great. He would want him to be there. But I like this second part too, is though Paul is really the overseer, Paul doesn't try and lord over him. He gives the guy space to make his own decision. Man, I think that's really, really great. He doesn't try and dominate the situation. He didn't lord over him. He just said, hey, you know, he said it wasn't going to work out for him right now, so cool. Be good with it. I like it. I think that's good. I think it's good for us to note. Doesn't mean we don't need leadership in our lives. Doesn't mean we don't need accountability. But it does say something about their interaction amongst brothers who are serving the Lord in that capacity. And I think it's healthy. Verse 13, watch. This is, we're getting into these last bits of exhortations and things that he wants to import and share to this group in Corinth. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Man, those are strong terms, to say the least. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. So he gives these, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and then he says, let all that you do be done with love. He kind of contrasts in a very masculine term, you know, that he's using there, very definitive things, be strong, be brave. You know, he's kind of pointing out this warrior mentality, you know, stand your ground type thing. And then he says, yeah, but let all that you do be done in love. He brings it back and tempers it, doesn't he, with the love. That's so important. Brings it back and tempers it with love. Now let's look at this home that Paul seems to commend here in beginning in verse 15. Again, these are closing thoughts that Paul has. He's kind of wrapping his communication up at this point in time with the Corinthian church. Now remember, he's sharing with them some very difficult things, and he's curious about how this is going to land, and we'll get into that in a study coming up before too long. But he knows that this whole letter could land kind of rough in some ways. He says, I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, or Acacia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. He says, you know, these are people that were close to us. We know their heart. I like it as it starts off, you know the household of Stephanas. Dad, Stephanas, set the pace. Dads, you set the pace. Good, bad, or indifferent, you set the pace. That's just the reality of it. You set the pace in your home. And I love this, what Paul, why does he commend them? Well, one, they're the first fruits of Acacia. These are some of the first believers that he met with and that received the Lord, and these are some of the early converts there. And it's pretty exciting. He has this close-knit relationship with them. And that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Who in here might have, or you can pull it up quickly on your iPhone or iPad, the word devoted there, where it says in verse 15, or if you have the King James Version that you're using. Anybody have the King James Version? Just King James. Some of you guys might be King James only. Here we go. The King James, not the New King James, but the King James. What does it say there? Nice. I like it. I like that translation really well. It doesn't say devoted. It says they're addicted. That is a good rendering. Dads, this is a good rendering. Are you doing things in such a way and revealing your relationship with the Lord that your family is addicted to ministry? Devoted in that level that it almost looks like it's an addiction. Oh, I love that. What a powerful, powerful truth. In other words, dads, you have a job, you have a career, you have commitments, you have that. But what do your kids see as the master passion of your life? Oh, he's just a great fly fisherman, you know? Oh, man, he can ride his bike for hours. We don't see him for hours. He can ride his bike for hours. Motorized or unmotorized, either one. One's more of an exercise, one's more just... Anyway, you get the idea. It doesn't matter what it is. What's the master passion of your life and my life are revealed by your life. It just gets revealed. It's visible. And no more visible than within our own homes. And I don't think it's, yes, it has to do with our time. Absolutely. Golly, absolutely. It has to do with spending time with them in the Word and all that, praying and keeping a good center on things that way. But you know, it really has to see with just what is visible. What do they see? Do they see practical Christian living being worked out? Is that what they see? And this is, it doesn't matter what age and stage we're at. It doesn't matter how much we've messed it all up. Man, you're hearing this today. If this is the first time you've heard it, glory to God that you heard it and you didn't live any further without it. It doesn't matter. You can't go back and worry about all this stuff in the past. It's done. Let it go. Sever the ties because it's not going to help you out. Just let it go. But you got to move forward and you got to move forward with the information. This is helpful stuff. Man, we want to see our families following the Lord. We want to see all that happening. Is he my master passion? And therefore, is that being reflected? And therefore, what is the response that's being done within their lives? And that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I'm not a real good guy on a lot of levels. I'm just not. And you cross me in a business thing, and we'll probably have big problems. I get pretty hardcore about some stuff, you guys. I'm just going to tell you straight up. That's who I am. Just in the natural, that's who I am. But I'll tell you what. I love God more than any of those things. I don't care about those things. I've lost thousands of dollars before because I don't care about those things. And that's no joke, and I'm not happy about that. I'm quite disgusted with myself about that. But it's because that's not the main thing. I love sharing the gospel. I love seeing people's lives changed. I love watching people come from darkness to light. Yeah, I'm addicted. I am. But you know what? You and I, as men, set the pace in our home. And if we love God, it is likely, and if we're honest, I've been transparent about the slamming on my brakes and in the van and all that. I've been told the stories, and if you haven't caught up with them, you can listen a couple of weeks ago. There was one on Wednesday night that happened, I think. The reality is, though, is that, man, loving God is where it's at. It plays out and it pays out in dividends. This scripture ministered to me about the fact that, man, if we set our priorities right and we allow God to be the master passion in our lives, we don't, please listen to me. I've got friends who are, their kids are shooting heroin. I've got friends whose kids are wasted and messed up and lost to the world. Whenever my kids got close to the edge, I was on my face in advance of that and I got real serious about it. Real, real serious about it. Because I'm not giving up without a serious, I'm talking about all-out assault fight. In the realm of the Spirit, the battle is won on our knees, on our face, looking to Jesus Christ, saying, God, if there's something you can do to me to make me a better witness to them, then change me, God. Fix me, God. This imperfect, messed up dude. Fix me. Because I've had things not always go right, guys. A lot of things that not always go exactly right. And I would plead with God sometime, God, please, let not this charge be held against you, but let it be held against me in their eyes, that they not see my frailty, but that they see your glory past that, your goodness and your mercy toward me in your graciousness. That's honest. That's me. That's reality. And I really believe, in large, it has nothing to do with anything other than just loving God. Just love God. They see that and they will emulate that. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but quit being fake. It's not a credit card plastic Christianity. Just stop it. If you're a screw up, say you're a screw up. Just say it and tell your kids. I've cried with my kids and told them, man, Dad really just missed the bus on this one. Humble yourself before the mighty God and before your family and let them know you're a person that messes things up. It is so great. It is so liberating. It is such a wonderful thing. And there's fruit, you guys. There's fruit in it. You and I need to show people how we live. We're messed up, okay? But how do we live a life apart, set apart to God and still not be fake about it? Because I'm telling you, your young people read fakeness like that. Young people are unique that way. They know when somebody's fake. Man, it's powerful. Powerful truth, things to think about. We've got to wrap this up this morning. In 1989, after having been trained in ministry and stuff, I'll never forget looking in the rearview mirror of our car. There were probably 25 or 30 family members and a few friends. And I remember looking in the rearview mirror with my little family leaving to come out here to the Midwest. That may not seem like much to you, but to me, I could have been going to the moon. Seriously, Joplin, Missouri right now looks like the moon, but in parts. But to me, I could have been going to, you know, some foreign. I'm trying to just share with you, man, we're in this together. Quit trying to insulate and isolate them. And you know what? Yeah, they belong at church when you're at church. That wasn't a question amongst us. I don't care what ball thing you've committed to or anything. We got a higher commitment. That's to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and we serve him and him alone. Okay, those other events, I know they go on, but man, where do you draw the line? Brothers and sisters, that's a tough deal. You got to work it out, and it's not easy, and I know it's not. But man, it pays off in huge dividends. Don't let them take charge and run their own life too young because they can't do it. I'm thankful God doesn't let me run my own life. I can't do it. I'm on a short leash, guys. Hoo-wee. Bam! Choke chain hits fast on me. It doesn't take much, and I'm, you know, the Lord keeps it reeled in. And it's good, though, isn't it? Oh, what great stuff. You know what? I love marriage and family. I have been the most blessed man on the face of this earth. And that's why I talk about this, and it's because of God. Had God not intervened in my life 26 years ago, I tell you guys, I was on a quick trip. My marriage was going to be done. I was an alcoholic. I was messed up. 26 years old, living like I'm 16, getting stoned all the time. It was a mess, and I was still running a business. I don't know how that happened. I had a lot of energy then, but and I had more brain cells, obviously. But the reality of all this, man, is that God intervened, and the curse was broken. That's what this is all about, the curse of sin and destruction. I am glad about the coming of Stephanus, Fortunus, and Acacius in verse 17. For what was lacking on your part, they supplied. For they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. The church of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. You remember them, the tent makers, some of Paul's buddies. With the church that's in their house. So they were addicted to ministry too. That's awesome. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, the salutation with my own hand. So Paul says, I'm writing this part myself. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus, let him be accursed. Oh, come, Lord, or Maranatha. He just says, come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha. And I don't know that it's such a harsh term that Paul's saying, if anyone doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Because anathema is a pretty powerful term. It's kind of, you know, cast into the farthest parts of hell type thing. It's actually damned to the farthest parts of hell. It's pretty strong terminology, okay? Very aggressive. But I think it's more this, because I think he's just kind of wrapping this, hey, if they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't love him, you've already cursed yourselves. You're running your own life.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. We started with this whole thing on this being able to resolve conflict going through this. We saw Paul, not because we spread through, we see all the problems in the church in Corinth. He was very open about his discussion with the problems of the church in Corinth. But Paul doesn't discard them and just throw them out. Well, gosh, you know, I tried to tell them and they just won't listen and they're just messed up and that's it. And he just leaves it at that. But he does the hard thing. He communicates with them. But Paul spoke this truth to them in love, and that's what's significant. Everything he shared, he's sharing the truth, but he's sharing it in love. We're about to wrap this up. We'll partake of communion, and we'll be able to go on our way. I appreciate you bearing with me for just a couple more minutes. I know you've got pressing issues and things to do, but nothing more important than your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the people that gather amongst us that may not have that personal relationship. There is nothing more significant than that. If we lose sight of that, we've lost our master passion. We don't want to lose it. I reject this idea about, yeah, I like doing a lot of different things, but man, I have one master passion, and that's to serve the Lord, to follow Jesus, to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. Paul spoke this truth in love. Jesus showed us the same example that Paul gave us in a word picture, but Jesus did this very definitively when he got together with the disciples and he met with them in chapter 13 of John's gospel, and he got with them and they've been walking through the streets in their flip-flops and whatever type of sandals they had. And they're wandering around, and they're getting all muddy and dirty and stinky and all this stuff, and they're sitting at that table. Now, obviously, you know, is that what Jesus did? He saw that need. If you have needs to speak to other people, speak the truth in love, don't just point out everybody's faults and about their stinky feet and stuff, okay? What did Jesus do? What did our Lord and Savior do? Girded himself with a towel, got down into the muck, and cleaned their feet. Got in it with them to help them. Got in it with them. Paul had that same kind of relationship. He wasn't trying to take anything from the Corinthian people. He was trying to do something for them. He had that place. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. You know, I know as we listen to the word, oftentimes the Spirit begins to convict us. And you know, Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father but through him. You know, it is very exclusive, Christianity is, and I know that offends some. But it's also all-inclusive in that anyone who would give their life to Jesus can have everlasting life. But it is exclusive in the sense that Jesus said he is the way. The only way to have everlasting life. If the Lord's tugging on your heart just now, would you open the door and let him in? Just pray this simple prayer of faith along with me now. While you're driving or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, sitting in front of a computer, wherever you are, whether it's through the internet or through the airwaves, I just encourage you right now to open your heart to Jesus and begin that new life. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, to be my personal Lord and Savior. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for the newness of life that I have in you, and I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that my life might be pleasing to you and give you glory. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com.
And if you're social media savvy, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes store now, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.